The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Maya, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. We are back on Zoom, thanks to this lovely Michigan weather. So literally just a few hundred feet away from me is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Coming to you live from Berkeley, Michigan. What's going on? You got your headphones to work.
I finally got them to work. I don't have to bombard the house with everyone else's noise.
So. continuing around the horn known as my computer screen is Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, Matt.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Did classes online today from exactly where you see me now.
That's so right.
Keep the computer plugged in.
In the great city of Detroit.
Yep. So it doesn't just crash out on me because of a low battery right in the middle of class, which I've had happen before.
Oh, yes. We all make those mistakes at least once. At least once.
So looking forward to spring break.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Looking forward to spring, even though, you know, we all know that winter weather came to us right before spring this year instead of the other way around. Good to be surrounded by water most of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
As long as it's not frozen.
That's right. That's right. Because I'm sure Professor Dan Maggio, next on the list here, could tell us all sorts of tales about power loss during the middle of ice storms.
I wasn't the only one.
You were not. You and 699,999 buddies.
But I will tell you a funny story. It's not funny. The first night I got a hotel. And the second night, I waited a little bit just to see. But by the time I realized it was time to get a hotel, we couldn't find one anywhere. So that's how we ended up in the house for the night.
Dan, going through like Airbnb or something like that, would that have helped possibly?
So we looked at Airbnbs and they were actually pretty cheap. We could have got a house in Berkeley for like $99. But then when you add in the taxes and the cleaning fees, you're at $300.
Right. Yeah.
You should have called me.
I know. We had you. So we ended up, everything worked out. But it was interesting. So. You don't know how important power is until you're out of it.
That's right.
What was it? They were talking about how in Florida, how like a class 6 hurricane can hit. And within 48 hours, everybody gets their power restored.
That's right.
Well, wouldn't if we buried power lines underground, we'd have less issues with the kinds of things that routinely cause us issues?
Let's never forget that it took a certain number of months and a certain number of dollars, but the entire plumbing system of the city and local in Flint, Michigan was overturned in about 4 to 6 months. So you can do those sorts of things if you just get a crew going, you know. So
the question of investment.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and apparently spending.
Yes.
And priorities.
There we go. Those being the dulcet tones of Professor Jason Roach, our executive producer and, of course, benefactor. Good to have you on the show, Jason.
It is so great to be back. Thank God for snow days.
Although you had half a snow day with the kids, right?
I did. Yep. And it's always interesting. There's just so much more energy when it's a snow day.
Of course.
Oh, I love it. I find it hard enough to program 75 minutes of organic chemistry, much less, you know, several consecutive hours of fifth grade, whatever, at least in my house, that's what it is. So, well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. I don't know, famous power outages. Is that a thing? If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, great fun here. Really, really recent set of questions, like in the last 24 hours. That's pretty good, right? Dear professors, below is a set of questions across the spectrum. I hope we'll confound and test your wide breadth of knowledge. Have fun with them. Sincerely, our good friend, Amber Hubley. Amber Hubley, longtime question sender. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just, when the first question is this crack-a-lackin, you just know it's going to be a fun day. Because Rowan and Martin mentioned Funk and Wagnall's encyclopedia in an ongoing joke, on Laugh-In, their famous TV show, sales supposedly rose by what percentage that quarter? I love it.
1,000%.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. That's a good guess, but it's a little bit shooting over the top. It is a non-negative number, I can tell you that.
150%.
200.
No, you know, it says here it was only 30%, so I think that we're doing okay. But I mean, the fact that it actually, you know, increased the sales.
Do you remember first time I think we mentioned Funkin' Wagnalls to Kendra? She didn't know what it was.
It's a little backwards leaning, I gotta say. Yeah, I'm giving Kendra the benefit of the doubt on that one. Yep.
Didn't Johnny Carson pick that up as part of Carnac?
That's right. That's right.
Remember, these envelopes have been in a mayonnaise jar in the sporting goods section of Funkin' Wagnalls or something.
hermetically sealed in a mason jar under a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So I think
before they exaggerated stats, right?
Exactly.
30%.
Right. Yep. Just plain old 30%. Sounds great, doesn't it?
Before great inflation. Yeah.
Next, we'll have a series of questions to be like, the sales of Eggo waffles increased by what percentage after the first season of Stranger Things? Yes. I'll tell you what, we'll do a Amber's next question here. And I'm looking in a decidedly Beth direction when I say, what are the five largest cities in the great state of Oregon?
Portland, obviously.
Portland is number one.
Eugene.
Eugene is number three. Corvallis is not in the top five, according to what we have here.
Salem.
Salem's number two.
Mm-hmm. Beaverton.
I don't see Beaverton. You've got your one, two, and three. Portland, Salem, Eugene. I've got number Astoria. Four is a G. It's Astoria. Not Astoria.
Gresham
is, and I have an H for number five.
Hillsborough.
It's Hillsborough. You know, the Oregon girl knows her stuff. What can I say?
Jeez.
Well, given the first letter of the towns, yeah.
The first letter is not X. No, you got them all like perfectly. That's almost exactly in order, except for Eugene. So that's pretty spectacular. Yeah. This is a sort of related to a longstanding meme at the Mayo House, but we'll do the question first. What company is the world's largest appliance manufacturer?
Whirlpool?
It's not Whirlpool. That would be a nice shout out to our Michigan buddies, but it's not Whirlpool.
GE?
It's not GE.
LG?
It's not LG. Mm-hmm.
Maytag.
Maytag Sharp is another good one. It's not Sharp, but you're getting closer with Sharp because I think that when you hear this.
Sony?
Getting closer, Dan.
Samsung.
Yeah. You think other kinds of electronics?
Panasonic?
It's Panasonic is what it is.
Under a different name?
Yeah. I think they have different sub brand names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're at the dinner table about a month ago, and my 10-year-old son says, how come you never see commercials for microwave ovens? And I'm like, get out of my head is all I have to say. Yeah, that one kept me up at least half a night. It's like, you just don't. Frankly, you don't see like many commercials for like ranges and things like that anymore. They're part of like a Home Depot commercial, but you're not seeing people brag about, oh, our stove like cooks things. Pretty much they all do.
Well, no, actually, what? Don't they, the higher end stoves?
Maybe like, what is it, Gen Air or KitchenAid? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I think right about now, I think the best advertising for them is they get used on like America's Test Kitchen, right, or you know, shows like right that. What better endorsement?
They have that Wolf Cove line.
Yep.
Yeah, that's hardcore. They're sponsors, I think, of the show.
Absolutely hardcore, that stuff.
I was looking at cooktops at Best Buy the other day, actually.
See? Did you cry a little?
That I want one and I'm not going to be able to get one?
I along those lines. Just inflation. That's what I'm thinking, Beth.
Yeah. Did you have to sell a vital organ to get one? Or?
Well, you know, yeah. The one I wanted is about it's over $2,000.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not three or four or five.
You have a nice cooktop, Beth.
Sealed burners would be nice.
I see.
Sure.
Yeah.
I understand and that.
A downdraft. So, but I like my five gas burners, so mm-hmm. I'd like to keep that.
Mm-hmm.
I've already picked out my
replacement. Don't let the government take our gas stoves away.
Oh, God. Don't. You're not going to do that.
Oh, man.
Now you're cooking with gas.
My dad used to say that all the time, actually.
It's such a great...
one of his favorite expression.
Yeah. Professors, which city? Amber's done her homework. It doesn't have her home city here, and I apologize for not having it memorized, Amber. She's what?
San Diego.
I want to say it's out in California. That's right. Yeah. But she has, which city of southeastern Michigan has the tagline, the friendly city?
It's sure not Royal Oak.
No, it's not.
Not for parking.
Not Berkeley.
It's not Ferndale, is it?
It's not Ferndale.
I'm going to throw it out there. Clawson.
It's not Clawson. That would have been great with all my Clawson jokes. You know, it's been over the last 10 years. This city has just, considering having grown up around here and the stereotypes surrounding this city, okay? Yes, okay. The voice of God is telling me in the chat that Amber's in San Diego. Good. Good. This city suddenly had two or three of the top restaurants in southeastern Michigan.
Hazel Park.
Park. Yes, it's Hazel Park. We used to say Hazel Tucky growing up, and I apologize to all our listeners in Kentucky. It's for a while there, it was the Wild West. So let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you got to admit, John R. was a little rough and tumble.
Right. So. However, it does have, in my personal opinion, since everything we do turns to food, the best Detroit style pizza at Louis. I'll fight anybody over that if I have to.
That's DeQuinder, though, isn't it?
That's DeQuinder. Yep, but it is Hazel Park. Yeah. It is Hazel Park proper.
That's a good restaurant.
Yep,
it is.
On the ABC TV show Fantasy Island. So we're not doing Fantasy Island 2023. We're doing the Ridge.
Okay, with Ricardo Montalban and Hervé Villechaize.
I didn't
know there was a new one.
Oh, you're saying there's a chance.
How much in the 70s, this is beautiful, 80s, did each guest pay to go to Fantasy Island in the original series? This is spectacular.
Couple thousand dollars.
$10,000.
I mean, you're on the right track. It's like, you could rephrase this question like, what do you think a large amount of money in 1982 would have been?
$10,000.
Yeah, 10 grand.
You know, it says 50K, but I feel like giving it to you because you're all in the right zone. Like, it doesn't sound like that much. That's actually, you can buy a car for that amount of money, you know? Oh, you could either buy a car or go to Fantasy Island.
Hey, that would have covered tuition at CCS for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
4 years. Four.
What are the two main ingredients to that cousin of the martini, the Gibson?
Gibson.
Gin
is one of them. That is correct.
Vermouth.
And
vermouth is onion. The second. Yeah. And onion is the garnish. Very good. You got the whole cocktail onion there. Yeah. Pickled onion. Oh, for sure. Yep. Absolutely. Gin, vermouth, and garnish with a pickled onion. So you can see where it intersects a lot with the martini.
Sounds like a flaming Moe light. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
Ooh. Beginning of the pandemic, as we come across the third anniversary of the pandemic across the whole world here in a few weeks. Who played Desi Arnaz in the 2021 biopic, Being the Ricardos?
Oh, this is the one with Nicole Kidman.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I watched it. Javier Bardem?
Yeah, Javier Bardem. That's right, that's awesome.
I actually thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I have all of that streaming stuff from the first year or so of the pandemic, like all in a box in my mind. Like, oh, that was the escapism, right? Like Tiger King. Yeah, remember the good old days, you know?
Binge watching.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, this is a good one. This term was brought about by a man named James Kraft. What was American cheese called before 1916? So James Kraft, of course, of Kraft Mac and Cheese, decided to call this cheese American cheese. That's what we call it today. But before 1916, it was called what?
Velveeta.
Colonial cheese or something like that? What?
Fake cheese?
You're going to need to dumb it down to just about the lowest level.
Yellow cheese.
Yellow cheese is correct. Yes.
But if you go to the store today, you will see signs for yellow cheese and white cheese.
You will.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe
because they can't find a better way to name it.
And then when did they suddenly start going from like American cheese slices to American like cheese food?
Right, cheese food, which is Velveeta.
What does that mean?
That's what cheese eats. Cheese food.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I have a big problem because I'm going to get into so much trouble if Leslie listens to this episode. I would say in general that Leslie's family is in love with American cheese. They think it's the greatest cheese ever. And I think I am not a fan of American cheese. I'm just putting it out there. I'm
Matt, you and I, we both probably have secret crushes on the cheese lady at Westbourne.
Oh, 100%. And the fact that I don't see her for years and then suddenly she just reappears, I'm like, go, go, go.
Especially when you ask her about an American Gruyere, if it's any good, and she says, I wouldn't recommend it.
I mean, she's recommended so many cheeses for me just to experiment.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's half the fun.
Yep, she is. Single-handedly took the Mayo family in a brick cheese direction for almost all of our melting cheese.
She and I agree that life is too short to eat cheap cheese. You know, 100%. You got to have your Parmigiano. You got to have your Gruyere.
Absolutely.
It's expensive. You can't have it very often, but you know.
Professors, what street does the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, California come down? It has every time come down this street.
Main Street?
100 years. It's not Main Street. Oh. It's actually named after another state of the union that is not California.
Oh. Pennsylvania Avenue?
That's a good guess, but no. Nope.
Michigan Avenue.
No, that's also a good guess.
I had a 1 in 50 shot.
Okay, well, now it's a 1 in 48 now.
Right, exactly. Well, exactly. West Virginia Avenue. No. It's Colorado Boulevard is what it is. Oh. Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, California. Cindy Pickett and Lyman Ward portrayed this movie character's parents.
Lyman Ward, he was a character. Yeah, he's just kind of a character, background actor.
Ooh, Beth's got it.
Who's the lady again?
Cindy Pickett and who?
Lyman Ward.
I know, I've seen Lyman Ward. Like Pretty in Pink?
I'll give you a little bit of a hint. Lyman Ward just comes across as that character actor that just screams dad. That's all I'm going to say.
What, is it like a Molly Ringwald character, a John Hughes movie?
I love how you're going into that bucket in your brain, Dave, because you're close, but you're not quite there. Anything that I would say would give everything away. One of the main characters, but not the one I'm referring to, wears a Red Wings jersey for the majority of the movie.
Ferris Bueller's
parents, Cindy Pickett and Lyman Ward.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Holy smokes, I've always wondered, and now here it is. How many hotel rooms does the Venetian sport in Las Vegas?
Ooh, it's huge. It's like,
I don't know,
5,000? Yeah, I was going to say 5,000.
Greater than 5,000.
Dan, you could have got a room there.
10,000?
It's not 10, though, so we've got our window.
7,500.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do the Kendra thing.
I'm giving it to Beth. It's basically 7,100 hotel rooms. That's just incredible. And frankly, why didn't you jump on a plane, Dan, and just go to Vegas for the, you know, the whole
week? Actually, we almost drove to Frankenmuth.
I bet it you
was
did.
It was very tempting.
I bet you did. Absolutely. Okay, well. Here's another giveaway. I would give it away by looking in a Beth word direction. In what state might you find the Detroit Dam?
Is it in Oregon, I assume?
It's in Oregon, yeah. About 5 miles outside of Detroit, Oregon. Absolutely.
That's right. I remember when a student actually told me that there was a Detroit in Oregon. I did not know that.
That's right. Which two bodies of water does the Suez Canal connect? You know, pandemic memories. Remember when the ship went sideways?
Mediterranean Sea.
And
Mediterranean is correct.
Not the Indian Ocean. That's farther south.
You all crack me up sometimes. If only we had that U.S. map in the
No, the Caspian, the Black, no. One of those.
Not the Black.
No.
It's not the Atlantic Ocean.
No. No.
North Africa. Think bodies in water.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying.
Not the Red Sea?
It is the Red Sea. It is
Sea. There we go.
It is.
Yep. Red Sea and Mediterranean. Yep.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are the two ports that supply ferry service to Mackinac Island? So you can leave from two cities to get to Mackinac.
Oh, St. Ignace and Mackinac City.
That's right. Yes, Dan knows that one right off the top of his head.
And have you guys seen the pirate ship?
Mm-mm.
There's a pirate ship leaving Mackinac City now.
Wow. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Does it talk like a pirate?
I don't know. We've yet to take it, so.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. I immediately started talking like a pirate inside my own mind.
Oh, geez.
I mean, to be quite frank, I didn't even do the stereotypical thing. I just went to Johnny Depp and said to myself, so you have heard of me.
That's right.
In Finland.
You're the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But.
You have heard of me.
That's in the same basket in my brain as you're a thief and a liar. Look, I only lied about being a thief. You know, in Finland, this trio is known as Tupu, Hupu, and Lupu. What are they known as in America?
Not the Stooges, are they?
No.
The Jonas Brothers.
Partial credit for that guess, but that was awesome. Tupu, Hupu, and Lupu.
That's blind mice.
No. It sounds like Donald Duck's nephews.
It is.
Yeah. Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, very good, Dave.
Yep. Very, very
good. Just sounding wise, it sounded close. That's all.
I grew up at a weird part of my life. I was in high school. I'll transparent about that when the original Disney Afternoon started, which was the origin of DuckTales. But when they remade DuckTales a couple years ago, it was actually very, very solid storytelling. And every character was voiced by a super famous person. It was a ton of fun to watch. And if you like that kind of stuff, you can check it out. Yeah. Who was the only person to portray a younger version of themselves, as opposed to, let's say, archival footage in the movie Forrest Gump? What a great question.
Who was the only actor to portray a younger version of himself? A
younger version of themselves, as opposed to using archival footage.
So as opposed to like Nixon handing him the award?
Right, right.
Gary Sinise?
Bear Bryant?
No, it's none of these.
Who else did he run into in that movie?
I could make a Simpsons reference, but I'll wait till the very, very end.
But is it an actor or an actual person?
Gosh, no, that's the problem. It's an actual person, but I wouldn't say it's an actor. Initials are DC, and it's more of a personality.
Oh, no, that's not me.
Dick Clark.
Dick Clark is good. You're getting closer.
Dick Cavett.
Is Dick Cavett, yeah.
Okay.
Dick
Cavett. Oh, that's right. He's still alive. That's right. Okay.
So he's still alive. We can't have Nixon do a non-archival because, of course, he's passed on, and Elvis and all the other stuff here. Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out who else he ran into in the movie.
Right. There's a classic Simpsons bit with the, you've seen it before, the twirling newspaper that freezes and shows you the headline. And the headline is Dick Cavett Born. And it has a fully grown picture of him next to it. I just think that's the funniest thing ever. But I have a very simple sense of humor.
Well, Dick Cavett, David Frost, Walter Cronkite,
Those of us who like South Park tend to have simple senses of humor.
That's right. Ooh, gosh, Amber did her homework. According to Google Maps, the end of this road is 24.9 miles north of the McNichols campus, Livernois. In what township does Livernois end?
Washington Township?
No.
It's not Rochester Hills.
No, it's not what it says.
Auburn Hills.
No. Is it Rochester?
Nope.
No.
Livernois ends around,
apparently, around 25 miles north of campus.
Oh.
What's north of Rochester?
I thought Washington Township was.
You're doing pretty good, actually. You're almost there.
What's north of Rochester?
I don't know. I never go up there.
It's okay. It says its final identity is Orion Road in Oakland Township, actually.
Oakland Township.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Not many folks know that when we say Livernois, that's definitely a little bit of French revisionist, because it's the mother road. It's the north-south basis of the entirety of southeastern Michigan. It's basically Main Street for every city that it goes through, including the city.
Gotcha. Okay.
What are the room differences between the U.S. game of Clue and the exact same thing, except for in Britain, you know, they call it Cluedo?
They don't have a conservatory.
That is a partial credit sort of thing.
They have a wine cellar.
Actually, that is absolutely correct. But Cluedo has a cellar. Really? It is. But what is the room that's replaced from the American side?
The loo. Oh.
The billiard room?
The library?
You're naming everything except for the right answer. I'm so sorry. If you can believe it, Cluedo does not have a dining room. It has the wine cellar. So,
well, of course,
today's trivia.
It makes sense.
What can I say? Ooh, so those are all the questions that Amber sent, but we get a bonus question. It's perfectly timed for the end of our show here. So, thank you so much, Amber.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, they were great. What are the seven virtues? Can you name all seven virtues?
Oh, geez. This is where Jim would come in handy.
Are we looking at the religious ones or the Greek ones?
Patience is a virtue.
Prudence?
Patience is not on the list, but prudence is.
Courage, generosity, temperance.
Courage, temperance.
Generosity.
Generosity is not on the list. However, I'll give you a partial credit. How about on charity? Charity.
Okay. Justice.
Justice is there. You're missing two.
Hope.
Hope. Oh my gosh, there's only one left.
Wisdom.
Chastity. I don't know.
That's what I was going to guess.
You've given me prudence, courage, temperance, justice, hope, and charity. The last one you're missing is faith. Is one of the seven virtues.
So who created these virtues?
Not us.
Well,
I'm just curious. Where do they come from?
No, I don't. That's a good question. Because Beth said something. It was you, Beth, right? You're like, are these like the religious virtues? But these are like the secular virtues, if that's even possible, right?
They go back to Greek philosophy. I mean, Plato and Aristotle have basically a theory of virtues, right, characteristic that you need to be good at the job of being a human being.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
And courage and generosity and temperance and wisdom. And Aristotle would add friendliness and being even tempered, mm-hmm. not overly angry. Before religion decided to stamp some of them with the imprimatur of the sacred, they had a secular foundation in ancient Greece.
There you go. I'm going to add nice teeth and good smell to the list. That's what I'm going to do.
The Nestle Quick Bunny is where I got my wrong answer. Patience is a virtue from the old Nestle Quick.
Yeah.
So I thought that was one of them.
Well, I mean, again, if we translate that to temperance, I think you're pretty darn close, Jason.
Close enough.
So yeah. Thanks again, Amber, for sending those great questions. But the time has come for us to say goodbye. Jason.
Adios.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Bye.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.